Ladies and gentlemen, it's my honor to introduce to you here on What Do You Know, on our stage, on What Do You Know, the senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Senator Tammy Baldwin. Joining us now. Oh, a standing ovation, is it? All right. I think if you told them to sit down, they would do it.
You can be seated.
That was almost royal, though. It was very nice.
Was amazing.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yeah. Now, the only problem I see is there a long form of Tammy?
Because
you're a senator now, and is there Tam-old, Tam-a...
I've been asked that a lot before, yep, because there was a time in Wisconsin where, yep, you couldn't put a nickname on the ballot. Mm-hmm. So I had to prove that I was really named Tammy. And I really, my mother really did name me Tammy. But they asked, you know, is it Tamara, Tabitha? It's Tammy. Yep.
That's good. Well, how exciting. We're also happy for you. You know that.
Thank you.
We're all proud of you. And it seems like the first time something good, like good won. You know? I mean, I don't mean to be stupid sounding, but I am.
I think the people won.
Yeah, the people won, and the people won, and you are the best representative that the people will have in ever, I think.
Thank you.
And yet they tried to demonize. I was so angry. And you must have been, too. I mean, how do you demonize Tammy Baldwin? Karl Rove and his stupid ads and all that money they poured in here, and did you feel demonized in the process?
I have to admit that I did not watch commercial television for 4 months. Now, I mean, it was important that I know what was on the air and what was being said. So, yeah, you know, I'd look at it on my laptop.
Yeah.
But that was the way I got through it with some calm, was, yeah, just not to watch the constant attacks.
Oh, should I tell you what you missed? You know, and they use all that grainy footage, you know, grainy out-of-focus footage of you maybe, you know, caught, you know, while shopping or something, you're complaining about produce or something like that. And maybe you used a word. Maybe you said darn or, you know, something like that.
Something like that.
And they keep, you know, like that's meaningful. That's unbelievable, really.
It was. I would hear a lot about what was, yeah, on the air. And there are some good lessons to be learned.
Yeah. Not to use that word anymore.
Not to use that word anymore.
Well, so, and then the Senate, I mean... You're going to miss the House, I bet, though, huh?
The People's House was an amazing experience.
Is that what they call it, the People's House?
That's what I call it.
Yeah.
But this is an extraordinary opportunity, and I feel really humbled, and on January 3rd, it'll become official.
Yeah. Do you have the office already? I mean, that's the biggest part of it.
That would be a long, long story, but just really briefly, and I don't want anyone to think I'm complaining, but in the House side, I've been kicked out of my office already, so, sure, we have a cubicle in the basement with, yeah, one computer, one phone, and one chair.
Yeah, who's in your office?
Well, the office staff is kind of roaming Capitol Hill right now, and they sign up for four-hour shifts on that phone in the cubicle so we can answer our constituent calls. On the Senate side, they don't kick any sitting senator out of their office before their term is expired, and they actually give them a grace period beyond that. So I'm told May or June.
You're going to be roaming the halls until May or June?
But no, there'll be they call it a transition space.
What do you mean, in the commissary, or where is it?
I believe I've been assigned a trailer in the courtyard.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
But you're with the ruling party there in the Senate. I mean, you should get preference. You should get, like, a corner office with a view.
Maybe it's a corner trailer with a view.
All right, if it doesn't bother you, I guess I'm okay with that. But you'll know by May.
That's what I'm told.
Yeah, yeah.
But it won't be an impediment to, yeah, starting up and serving the people of Wisconsin.
Excellent. Can you do something about this Burt Bielema affair?
Well, I think, yeah, you know, as you said,
a little shocked.
Barry Alvarez is, yeah, stepping up and ready to go, and, yeah, I think his record in the Rose Bowl is better than
I know, but Brad's. They had to wake him to tell him the news. They had to wake him to tell him the news. That was the only problem. He fell asleep in front of the TiVo again, you know. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Fiscal cliff. You know, there is no such thing. I read in the New York Times the other day, someone wrote and said, there actually is no fiscal cliff. I was surprised. I thought there, like the Iron Curtain, I thought for years, I thought there was one. I thought there was an actual axis of evil. There was an axis of evil. There is no fiscal cliff, apparently. Or is there?
Well, you were shopping for alternative metaphors. I've heard some of the future colleagues call it fiscal curb. but, I mean, there's a set of events that are going to happen.
Yeah.
And they're either going to be averted completely or kicked down the road and tackled, you know, months from now, or we'll go over that, you know, those year-end deadlines and tackle them really quickly in January. And that's kind of the question right now. Of course, there's negotiations going on over this weekend. Even as we speak, could possibly they might be meeting or emailing back and forth.
But then we've been hearing the Democrats saying, yeah, we're going over the cliff. You know, they're all lining up and saying, the Democrats are saying, we're going over that cliff. It's sort of a pride thing now.
Well, I mean,
what is that?
So the aspect of the cliff that is, you know, at play right here is that at the end of the year, the Bush tax cuts from 2001 and 2003 expire, and everybody's tax rates will go up if that happens. And, of course, you know, the conflict is that a lot of Democrats, perhaps all Democrats and some Republicans even, believe that the top 2% need to pay their fair share in order for us to really tackle the challenges before our nation. But you got a bunch of these folks in the House and Senate, Republicans a pledge to a Washington, D.C. lobbyist by the name of Grover Norquist. They believe that they cannot vote to raise anyone's taxes. Yeah. And so we're at that impasse. And we hope that people will see clearly what's happening is that they're holding small businesses, 97% of small businesses, 98% of families in America hostage to this pledge for the top 2%. And we'd like to see them cast the responsible vote before December 31st, but it may just be that we have to go to January 3rd or 4th in order to fix the situation, because then they can take a vote to lower tax rates for everyone without breaking their pledge. But it's almost semantics at this point.
When did Grover Norquist become a part of government? I thought there are three parts to government. He's right. Like the fourth?
Well, and when did elected officials start swearing pledges to non-constituents? I mean, I think you run for office to represent the people of your district or your state.
Yeah. That's a novel idea. I'm not saying it is. Will you go on record here as saying you have sworn no pledges?
I make a pledge every day to the people that I am going to be representing and that I represent right now and work really hard on their behalf.
I know you do. That's why I'm so excited about it. This is so such a good thing. And another thing, you know, not before we leave this thing, it's certainly a fascinating topic we could talk about all day, but there's no debt ceiling either, really. I mean, that's another one.
You know, what are your alternative metaphors for that?
I don't know. Debt floor. Debt floor, at least something to stand on. You know, debt ceiling. It's like in those movies where the guy's in the thing and the ceiling is coming down and is about to crush him and stuff. You know?
I had nightmares about that.
Yeah, did you?
As a child.
Yeah, really. So there is no debt ceiling. And that's the whole thing is just hocus pocus, though. Because, I mean, they wanted to make an impossible situation. And then I noticed during the election, they said, well, what about, you know, the fiscal cliff if Romney is elected? They said, well, if Romney gets elected, no problem. You know, it disappeared. Suddenly it was a mirage. The whole thing was a mirage. You know, so it's just a political ploy. But what about President Obama? Give him hell, Barry.
He is holding firm.
Yeah.
And he has, I think, correctly interpreted the results of the election, and I think others would be well served to do so too.
Yeah, that's been really good. Actually, when we talked some time ago, and I said about, you know, the president seemed to be standing apart from various negotiations that were going on, but he certainly doesn't seem to be at this point.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. He is fully engaged
and not yielding.
Correct. Yeah. I think that he's been very clear, and we'll either let these expire and tackle this first thing in January, or hopefully they'll have some serious talks in the next couple of weeks and get it done before the end of the year.
Do you see any other business for Congress other than this fiscal cliff coming up?
Well, we have a farm bill that's about to expire at the end of the year, and it is actually of great consequence to us here in the state of Wisconsin, because the expiration of the farm bill probably hurts dairy farmers worse than any other group, and so we'd love to see that tackled also.
Yeah. Have you signed a pledge to the dairy farmers?
Only my individual pledge to continue to support them through my love of cheese.
And your baking in general as well.
I don't usually bake with cheese, but I
no cheese scones?
No. I like sweet scones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so how does one prepare to be a senator? I mean, there must be a different sort of ball. I mean, the House was nice, and they had good facilities and everything like that, but the Senate is a different ball game entirely.
Well, we did have a week-long new senator orientation.
Oh, you went to orientation?
I did. It was a little juggling because it was also the first week of the lame duck, so I had the two roles to play. But, yeah, there's 12 in our incoming class, some of whom I've gotten to know on the campaign trail before the election, and very much looking forward to working with them. But, yeah, there were...
What did I tell you in the orientation?
A lot of basic things that you might expect. We went through ethics training.
Oh.
I think something very important.
Then all day session, or is it?
Not quite all day, but, we got the key points of contact and some of the very important issues. We had a panel, which was helpful, with senators who were in their first term, senators who had served just the first 2 years of their first term, giving us tips on what they would have done differently, what they advise you to do right away.
Ron Johnson, was he in that?
He was on that panel, yes.
What did he say? It's not a plastics factory. We know that much.
I think he had some solid advice about where you should start in terms of putting your team together and that type of mm-hmm. advice, which is helpful.
Yeah. What about, there must have been just parking, there must have been some nuts and bolts thing. Parking, do you have a space?
Well, I don't have a car out there,
where's your trailer parked then?
I think it's in a courtyard. I'm not sure that it's on wheels. Yeah. I haven't checked it out yet, but...
Health insurance, you sign up for that?
You do. I have the advantage, I guess, that I'm already enrolled in the Federal Employees Health Benefit Plan, and they just transfer it over. So I didn't have as much paperwork as some of my new colleagues who are...
I think the Senate, they get dental law, too.
No.
They don't?
No.
That's shocking to me. I don't know why.
Wait. Let me take that back. I mean, there's a dental plan available, but for me, my local dentist doesn't participate, so... We're getting into really personal stuff here, right?
Because I keep thinking, what if I wake up one morning and I got to appear at the United States Senate on January 3rd, and you don't think of the contingencies and stuff. And you have to hire, you have a whole new staff and everything, right? You got to staff it.
Absolutely.
Because in the House, you had a staff, but probably wasn't large.
Well, and especially now that I'm going to represent the whole state of Wisconsin, I had an office for the House. I have an office in Madison and Beloit, mm-hmm. which are the two biggest cities in the 2nd Congressional District. And now
you betcha.
We have a whole state to represent. So over the next months, we'll be announcing where we'll have offices throughout Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. But they got to do a lot of hiring in D.C. and
yes.
There are probably a lot of used people.
Experienced, we like to call
experienced,
them.
I mean, and throwing around, and so you got to interview them and all
yeah.
that stuff.
Well, and I'm also awaiting my committee assignments.
Yes, I was going to ask.
And so we'll wait for a little bit longer to find out what those are, and then hiring will also dovetail with those announcements.
Yeah. You should get on the Senate Office Committee. Number one, I would advise.
Streamline that program, yeah.
And okay, so it's all exciting, and I understand like the health facilities are great. I know we talked about this a little bit about the House facilities are good, but the Senate gym is supposed to be fantastic.
Is it?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I don't know if they have handball courts. I'm sure they do.
I think I have overheard. Sitting senators talking about their handball game, so I think there may be indeed.
That may have been code for something.
It could have been. Could have been.
Or not. I mean, you know, they could play handball. I mean, some of those guys obviously seem fit enough to be able to do it. So much to think about and stuff. And are you hoping? Well, I guess I can't say what committees you'd hope to be on, but. You should have some say in that, I would think.
Well, certainly we put in our requests. It's, of course, different than the House in that there's 100 and not that many are leaving, and so there's a lot of committees with just one opening and a dozen new members vying for the same committee assignments. But that said, what I really am focused on is being able to carry the fight that I talked about throughout the campaign into my work. And so being in a position where we can grow our middle class, focus on good paying jobs in all sectors of our economy, but particularly, you heard me talk a lot in the campaign about regrowing our manufacturing sector in the state of Wisconsin. I want to be in a position to work on those issues, not just short term, but long term. And so that also involves an investment in our future workforce, education, and right. our health, and all of that. So I'm really looking forward to hearing those committee assignments announced.
It also really calls for re-election.
6 years from now?
Well, I mean, it's going to take a long time, and one election may not be enough, is what I'm saying. So re-election.
One step at a time.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned the Buffett.
Buffett rule.
Rule, which
yeah.
here in Wisconsin we thought was the buffet rule. Where you move from right.
I heard it referred
right,
to as
right to left in a buffet. But you're talking about Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett, and named after him because he famously said it was very unfair that his secretary paid at a higher tax rate than he did, mm-hmm. and the president became a big proponent of. A basic rule that said if you earn over $1 million a year, you should pay at least at the 30% tax rate. I introduced that bill in the House of Representatives. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse introduced it in the Senate. And we have teamed up this past couple of weeks to try to make this key provision a part of these negotiations that are going on right now.
Yeah. How does that look?
Well, I certainly think that it should be... I think it's common sense. It should be appealing, but
you know,
we'll see.
It may just mean that she was really well paid. You know, that's what I suspect, because I think she was more than a secretary. I'm not saying that. Well, I mean, I think she did a lot of business functions for Warren Buffett.
You know, I think that there's no doubt that his success
Her
is owed to
here.
Many
What's
other people
matter?
Than just him.
Yes, no, but I mean, she had. It wasn't just secretary. I mean, she was executive secretary, and I don't know. She told him what Berkshire Hathaway was her idea. I have no idea. Something like that. Well, I hate to keep saying this, but we are all so pleased that you are going to be our senator.
And, thank you.
Grateful
thank you.
For your service so far. And, you know, even on the other side, the people who were so vociferous or whatever don't really know you, will get the idea that you are there to serve the people of the state of Wisconsin.
There's
no one that's more truer of than you, I think, in terms of your public service. So
thank you.
Thank you for that. And congratulations. Senator Tammy Baldwin, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.